That was great. Great, yes. Give them a hand. How beautiful is God? Let me just pray as we come to the Word. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you are so wonderfully beautiful, Jesus. And how wonderful it is that we can be here together to experience your beauty, to be gripped by your grace as we gather today. And Lord, as we continue our time together, would you just come, Holy Spirit, to speak, to convict, to nurture, to heal. Lord, you know our hearts and what we need, and we just submit to you and surrender to your goodness once again this afternoon. We give you thanks and praise for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome again for those that have come in. It's wonderful to have you with us. If you're visiting today, a very special welcome. My name's Maria, and To and I have been, for this month of September, talking about our heart and our hope. And we started with Father's Day, talking about the Father's heart and the Father's hope, and brought out that for us to experience abundant life is that we would know God as Father, that He wants to be our perfect Father, to nurture us, that we would come as His kids with full of trust. And last week we focused on Jesus as our source of life and strength, and that as we as kingdom kids get to be called His best friend. That He has, as Angus has reminded us, intimate relationship with Jesus. We walk closely in intimacy, not as His servants, but as His friends. And as His friends, He tells us everything that He knows. So that's awesome. And so today, what we're looking at today is fulfilling God's call. At the time of Jesus' earthly time here on earth, He prayed for Himself and for us to come, but He prayed for Himself. And He said in John 17:4, He said, "I have brought you glory, Father, on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." We might just look at that slide. Thanks, Eve. "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do." So Jesus had confidence that what God had asked Him to do while He was here on earth, He had successfully fulfilled, and that brought His Father glory. And you know, there is work that God has given us, for you and for I to do, while we're here. And so today I want us to explore what that is and how we actually get to complete it, and how we can also have confidence like Jesus. In Ephesians 2:10, it says it quite clearly that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So Paul is encouraging his listeners in Ephesus that you and then I, God sees us as His great work of art, His workmanship, His masterpiece. And because of that, and we're His masterpiece because we've been created in Christ, we're recreated, new creations in Jesus. And because of that, we get to do things for God. Fantastic. And so I guess I'm wondering and wanting to ask a question today. Have you ever wondered what God wants you to do with your life? Have you ever wondered what does God want you to do with your life? What has God called you to do? Do you know? Matthew, who travelled around with Jesus and wrote one of the Gospels, he wrote at the end of 24 and beginning of 25 about Jesus telling stories once again and telling stories about how Jesus would come again to the earth a second time as King Jesus and what that would look like. And from these stories, Jesus warns us that, you know, that he's hoping that we're going to be ready, that we're going to be expectant of his return and living in fruitful obedience to him. And in one of the stories, he gives us the hope that as we continue in faith, that one day when he appears and we're in front of him, he says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's my heart and my hope, that God, that Jesus will say that about me. And I'm sure that's your heart cry, Lord, that we want to please Jesus, don't we, in our life here on earth. And I guess as I personally reflect on how I've been doing with that, you know, how do I know what God's call is on my life? Have I been doing it? I guess sometimes I have to say quite honestly, I'm not really sure. I haven't always been sure what it looks like, and it's a bit of a process. But I guess as I've looked back at that, there are some things that have kind of stood out. I know, you know, beautiful worship today, and, you know, one of the songs was about being gripped by God's love. And, you know, when I was 19, that was a time in my life when I really realised that, wow, God is real. He's real. And realise that, yeah, okay, you can be Lord of my life. And just so gripped by his goodness and his love that I wanted to know what it was like. What are you asking of me? What does it mean to be called your child and to follow you? And at that point in my life, I was just about to graduate, go into a career, and I had thought to myself, before being a Christian, I'm going to be top dog. Doesn't matter what career I'm in, I'm going to go to the top. I'm going to find out how to get there, and I'm going to be the best at whatever I do. And I became a Christian, and Jesus is now Lord of my life. And I began to realise that to be God's best was learning how to live in obedience to him as I follow his word to me and as I followed his call in my life. And so I found that I was undergoing a whole lifestyle and mindset change into how I would process things. And it was just baby steps. It's baby steps. It's reading God's word and finding, oh, wow, that's important to you, God. Being honest all the time, whether people can see me or not, that's important to you. And he'd pull me up on things. Oh, wow, that small thing, Lord. Yeah, that matters to you. Okay, I'll do that. Something that really gripped me was reading about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's just before he goes to get crucified. And he's realising this is huge. He's realising the horror he's about to step into, the pain, the rejection, the shame, the intolerable difficulty of it all. And he doesn't want to do it. Lord, you know, Father, would you let this cup of destiny pass me? I don't want it. Who would want it? Who would want it? Yet he knew God as Father, and his Father only wants the very best for him, and he knows that. He knows that. And so in the midst of such difficult choice, he says to his Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." Which allowed him to die for us, to bear our sins in a terrible way. But did that, as Angus has said, so that we can come into his presence with freedom and joy and have relationship with God. And so that determination of Jesus to do the Father's will gripped my heart, and I knew that that was going to be important. And so as a young woman, I remember all my friends getting married. And I couldn't really see a decent Christian guy around me, quite frankly. I did go out with most of them to discover that. One date was usually enough. And I thought, wow, God, are you calling me to be single? That's not what I want. I don't want to be single. And I had to get to that place, like Jesus has modelled to us. You know, I want to get married, but God, I know that you have the best for me. And if being single means that I'm going to be the most satisfied and I'm going to bring you the most glory and that will bring me huge joy, well then yes, I'll be single. And so I came to a place of peace with that. But of course the story went on and I met Tyler, and oh, you know, that sort of went a different direction. But God, you know, was testing my heart, and I think he does that. Then we got married, and then wanted children, couldn't get pregnant. Okay, God, you know, again, I want children. Not my will but yours, leave it with you. Praise the Lord, I got pregnant. Beautiful. Wanted more children. God, I really want, and I was heartbroken over this one. God, I really want another child. But I'm going to trust you with it. And the next child never came. And I just keep trusting God with that, because he knows the big picture and I don't. And he knows the big picture of your life, because you don't. None of us do. We can trust God. And then about 20 years ago, God whispered it into my ear about being a pastor. And I said, well, that can be pretty difficult from what I can see. You know, I'm a woman and everything, you know, which he seemed to know. But I thought, well, you know, if you want to make it happen, I'm up for it. If you say go anywhere, I'm there. And it was 10 years later that the door opened up and I walked through that door. And now I've been a pastor for 10 years, praise God. But, you know, that's another thing I've learnt to do, to trust in God's timing. You know, we all want everything yesterday, not even today. But again, God sees that big picture. So, you know, God was rearranging things in my life, the different people, my family, situation. So when the time was right, it was so much easier to walk into that space. God really knows us. And in so far looking back over my life, I've learned, and you've probably heard this analogy, that it's easier to steer a moving car than a stationary one. You know, it's very hard to move that steering wheel when there's absolutely, you know, no motion, but, you know, once you're going, ooh, you can go anywhere. Same with us. God wants us to keep moving in our faith, growing in our faith. And as we do that, he will speak. You know, sometimes I think, God, where are you? He will speak. Don't you worry. He will speak. So in that time of waiting to be a moving car, we need to be actively waiting. And actively waiting looks like this. Reading God's word regularly, knowing what, you know, Jesus has called us to be, what that life looks like, being in times of prayer, being in times of worship. Because when we're doing that, we're giving space for God to speak to you, speak to me. And, you know, I've discovered that these fundamentals of the word, of prayer, of worship are fundamental. And I found that the fundamentals are always foundational. So even as a pastor now, I don't have it all together. I've got to keep doing that stuff. Regularly being God's word, regularly praying. And do I do it perfectly? No, I don't. But it's always my aim because I know that that's important in my relationship, in following God's call in my life. And I want to say too that sometimes when we might look at people and say, well, she was called to be a pastor. That's a big call. I want a big call too, God. I want the big call. And we need to be careful not to look at kingdom life with earthly eyes, because earthly eyes want the big thing, the big shiny thing, and competition. Oh, that person's got that. I want that. Actually, I want better than that. But you know what? We're all called, and we're all called to obedience. So me following a call to be a pastor is just another step in following God's call in my life. His word speaking to me. No different. We're all called to be obedient, and that's the greatest call. So what's your calling? What's God asking you to do? You know, as I've said, as we get into God's word, well, actually, you can actually find a whole lot of verses that say you've been called to certain things. And there you go, right there. We've been called to a lot already. And so let's have a look. I've picked out a few of the of what our calling is. And it's not an exhaustive list, and they're not in any order. But Eve has the first one there already for us, which is wonderful. We have been called to be holy. So 2 Timothy 1:9, God has saved us and called us to a holy life. To be holy is to be set apart for God. You're not set apart for doing what you want to do, but you're set apart for God, to hearing His voice, to following life with God. And another great verse from 1 Peter 1:14 to 15 is, obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. So that verse kind of gives you a bit more insight about what it means to be holy. It's, you know, you used to live a certain way before you knew Jesus, before you said yes to His lordship. But His lordship in your life looks a whole lot different. And He wants you to follow Him now in everything that you do. He also calls us to be a people of peace. Or a people, first of all. And so important. I think today we very much, obviously, in the world, it's all about who you are and you matter. And, well, you do matter. You matter to God. But, you know, the focus is on me and I and all that sort of stuff. But not in Christ. It's about being a people. And this is a great verse from 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. So you notice that as he's speaking, as Peter is addressing the church or the people who are reading it, he's not saying you as an individual, but each time it's a people, a priesthood, a nation, a people. He's trying to, you know, we are meant to be all together, working together. And it's really important that we get a grasp of our corporate calling. You know, why do we exist? You know, what are we here for? Is more important than my own individual calling or our own individual calling. And why is that? Because we need to get a grasp of the big picture of what we're on about, that we're all Christ's body. You know, we're meant to be Jesus in this world. Jesus is now in heaven at the right-hand side of his Father. We're left here. And we are the body of Christ. So all together, we are Jesus to continue his mission of love out in the world. So once we understand that, it becomes a bit easier to understand about, well, what about, how do I fit into that? So that means now that individually, us, you just simply keep walking with Jesus and work at how God has wired you. Your beautiful personality and talents and gifts that makes you different from the person next to you, different to me. And that with all of our diversity and differences, but working together in unity, we get to further the big picture of bringing Jesus and continuing God's mission in this world. And the reality is that anything that you do with your life can be used for God's glory. If your heart has the right focus, if you know that what you're doing, that you want to be set apart for God in all that you do. You know, there's no sacred and secular. You know, it's not that, because I'm a pastor, I get to do the God thing and follow God's call. No, we are all called. You know, God needs plumbers and electricians and teachers and pastors and software engineers and everything else and in between and healthcare workers. He needs all of us to be working wholeheartedly for good on behalf of others. So let's all keep moving with God and let God lead you in whatever situation you happen to be in. God's also called us to be a people of hope. And we see in that reference in Ephesians 1:18 it's good for us to know the hope that we've been called to. You know, we have great hope. You know, this is not all there is for us. You know, our life might end physically, but we continue on with Jesus. You've been called to hope. Are you a hope bringer in your place, in your space, in your context? Are you someone that walks into the room and suddenly the sun is shining? You know, that's the gift that we get to bring, because that's what we've been called to. Do you have God's hope bubbling up inside of you? Because that's what Jesus brings, and we get that to allow that to overflow. We've also been, it says, we've been called a people of peace in Colossians. I love this. I want to read this one out. I've got lots of verses, so I'm not going to read everything out, but this one I think is fantastic. Starting at chapter 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. You are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. So we've been called to be a people of peace, to move in peace, to be peacemakers, not troublemakers. Although sometimes it's good to cause a bit of trouble, because we don't want a false peace. We're not trying to say, yeah, everything's okay when it's not. But we're not trying to get under people's skin and aggravate and annoy. That's not God. That's not bringing peace. But to be a peacemaker, because we've been called to peace. And we've been called to be peacemakers in the body of Christ too, to maintain that unity in the bond of peace. We've also been called to freedom, free from living in an ungodly way. Now we're free to choose the right way. You know, when you're in sin and in darkness, in the kingdom of darkness, when you don't know Jesus, when Jesus is not Lord, you don't know that you're sinning. You don't know that you're in darkness. In fact, sin seems pretty fun at the time for a lot of people. That's probably why they're still in it, because they can't see anything different anyway. It's only when we're in Christ that we're in the kingdom of light, we can really see life for what it is. Oh, well, I can choose now. I can choose to be free from that and free from the lies and the mindsets that held me back, that stopped me from seeing that God is real and I'm valuable to God and I'm a part of a family. Oh, how awesome is that? And I'm free not just to live for myself, but free to love others. And that's what that verse encourages us to do. We're free now to serve one another in love. Fantastic. We're also called to eternal glory in Christ. You know, what we see now is not all that there is. And what a great joy that is. And the last one I put on our list is that we've been called into fellowship with Jesus Christ. How amazing. And that word fellowship, koinonia, is actually a very deep sharing of life, sharing of hearts. You know, Toe taught last week that Jesus is our, wants to be our best friend. You know, we share our hearts. He wants to walk intimately with us. How awesome. What a great calling we have. How amazing is that? Thank you, Jesus, for that. So, you know, how are you doing? How do you feel like you're doing with this Christian life? You know, it's pretty big. God has standards. Let's face it, and they're good standards. Sometimes it's not easy, though, is it? And it's not easy when we're trying to do it in our own strength. God wants us to be fruitful, but it's good to know it's a steps at a time. We're all in process, but please be in process. Keep engaging with Jesus. You know, there's some lots of encouraging verses and scriptures that help us in our process. You know, the Apostle Paul is talking in his letter to the Philippian church and says to them, you know, God began the good work in you. He started it, and he's going to keep working in you. He's going to carry on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, until Jesus comes again. So how, what a, I mean, I always think, thank you, Lord, that takes the pressure off. It's not up to me. You know, you promise to keep doing the change that you want to do, that you need to do, that you want to do. You're going to keep doing that. And you'll often hear us say during services, you know, come Holy Spirit. That's because we know we desperately need him. We need him to keep coming and coming and continuing the work that he has already started. Jesus also gives us this great promise. I love this. Mark 1:17, he says, come, follow me. I love this picture too. And I will make you fishers of men. So what's our part? To keep following, to keep following. And Jesus is going to do the moulding that he needs to do in our hearts. We just need to let Jesus do that and keep with him. So let's keep following Jesus and hearing his voice. You know, Jesus is also called the Great Shepherd, and he leads his sheep. And he says, my sheep will hear my voice. Sometimes we get a little bit, oh, am I going to hear God's voice? You know, he's speaking all the time. And that's why we need to spend time with God to keep learning what that voice sounds like. And when we read scripture, you know, God is amazingly inventive about the ways he speaks to his people. I mean, he'll use crazy stuff. I've been reading Jeremiah, and in one spot, he asked Jeremiah to take off his belt. I'm going to talk to you through that belt, a picture of that belt. Well, that's crazy. But anyway, Jeremiah goes with it. And he does receive this profound message about, you know, what God wants to say to his people. And amazing. You know, so God will use anything to get our attention so he can speak to us. And as I've been sort of, you know, open to God about, you know, what is it you want to say? How do you want to encourage us? I was asking that a few weeks ago in a meeting, and God gave me this picture of Lord Nelson. Now, I've never studied history at school. I don't really know who Lord Nelson is, but it's clear as day, Lord Nelson. I thought, well, God, what is it you want to say to me and to us? I thought, you know, I'm just going to go with this. And so I've done a little bit of research on Lord Nelson, and it's very interesting. I'm just going to give you a few little details. He lived a long time ago. He was born and in 1700s and died 1805. He was actually the son of a minister, number six of 11 children, quite a poor family. There's no money in ministry, just let me tell you. No, I'm only kidding. He had an uncle who was a high-ranking naval officer, and his mother died, Nelson's mother died, and he got carted off to the uncle. So by age 12, he was in the Navy. And obviously took to it really well, because by the time he was about 20, 21, he was captaining his own ship. Pretty amazing. He was known historically for his inspirational leadership, grasp of strategy and unconventional tactics, and because he used methods that had never been used before. And that resulted in amazing victories in battle no one would have ever considered possible, because they were greatly outnumbered. But because of what Nelson did, they won. Amazing. And so he was a national hero. He had great, you know, people just looked to him. You know, but he didn't live a perfect life. He got up to some whoopsies here and there and wasn't perfect. But some other things that were really interesting to note about Lord Nelson. He was 5'4" tall, 163 centimetres for those in metric. So he didn't really look the part, you know, like expect this big captain, you know, tall man, commanding. But he's little Lord Nelson. Who would have thought? Amazingly too, he suffered from chronic seasickness the entire time. You know, he kind of seemed disqualified right from the start. Poor guy. Imagine doing that, throwing up every day, you know. Hi, boys, enjoying your breakfast? Oh, great, yeah. He experienced bouts of illness and depression. Life was it wasn't always that easy. And during battle, he actually became blind in his right eye and lost his right arm. But he still powered on. And so I thought, wow, God, this is, guys, interesting. What would you want us to be encouraged with by this guy's life? And, you know, like Joshua Woodley, he did communion last week. Great job, Joshua. And he, one of the great things he said is we get to inspire one another. And that's why we do life with one another. One of the great things, you know, we get to influence one another. And, you know, this guy's pretty inspiring too. So if we want to look, let's look at some of the things that we can remember as we follow God's call and walk in obedience. You know, Nelson didn't look the part of a sea captain or seem to fit the requirements, you know. Not great. You know, so good to remember that God doesn't look at our outward appearance, but he's looking at our heart. And it's the Holy Spirit who gifts us, and as he decides. So let's just continue to be led by him and not by the criteria or the requirements that seem to be set by others or our culture, all those expectations that seem to be there, don't worry about that. Just have God ruling in your heart. That's the most important requirement. Next, Nelson was not deterred in the battle. I mean, obviously he had setbacks. He could only see in one eye and only had one arm. I mean, pretty hard. You know, life is full of trials and the Bible does never shy away from that. But as we look to God and continue in faith, God can turn our trials into opportunities for our faith to deepen and to grow. And our faith is so valuable to God, so valuable. It's what gets us through. Nelson used unconventional tactics and won seemingly unwinnable battles. Amazing, amazing. Read about it, it's amazing. You know, so let that be an encouragement. Let's be open to God to use us the way that he wants to. You know, other people might not understand. God is amazingly inventive and creative. Let's just be open. He wants to do more than we can possibly imagine or think. And I can think of a lot. God says he can think a lot more than that. And I'm sure the same's for you. And Nelson inspired those around him. You know, he was a national hero. I think it's really important that don't underestimate you, that you impact people around you, but you can impact them positively or negatively. So let's choose, let's live well, and let's imitate Christ. So we are flowing out of time a wee bit, I think. I have got one slide that I'm just going to put up that we can consider, maybe over coffee, which I was going to keep playing while you're having coffee, to think about, you know, great, I want to fulfill God's call. How can I do that? What are some small steps? You know, because as we make small steps continuously, that's how change happens in our life. So reading Bible, looking at ways you can serve the family because we are family. How we can meet one another, encourage one another, reach out. If you're at a crossroads today and you're trying to make a big decision, thinking, where is God calling me? Remember, we're family. Let's discern together. Find someone you trust to pray. Can the team come up for worship? And really important at the end, spend time with God to experience his presence and peace, because God leads us with his peace. So learn what that peace feels like. Experience that peace, because that's the way he's going to lead you. And you can feel that peace even at times where you're making really difficult decisions. Can I invite you to stand as we come into worship? Let's stand firm in our calling. Let's together fulfill God's call on our life so that, like Jesus, we can be satisfied at the end. And at the end, it can be said of us, well done, good and faithful servant. So with eyes closed, I'm going to read this verse over us and pray. Lord, from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm. Don't give up. And hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word or mouth or by letter. And may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. And we thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful, that you say that you've started an amazing work in our lives, recreating us from the inside out. Lord, would you just come again afresh right now to encourage our hearts, Lord, that you have us, you're holding us and you're speaking to us. Would you give us still hearts and open hearts and ears to hear you, your words of love, of nurture, of encouragement and guidance as we wait on you, as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm just going to facilitate. Normally we have ministry time.